Once, I said once, they were on their way to a place of prayer. For it happened many times that they were on their place to prayer. That is, Paul and Silas and others who traveled with him. But once, say once, they were on their way to a place of prayer, a gathering of people of the faith. And all Paul and Silas were doing was ministering God's love to those around them and sharing the hope of eternity to those in need. That's all they were doing. And on one time, Paul and Silas stopped over. They had a stay, one might say, at a small little village. And in this village, there was people who had gathered, who had heard of their arrival, and they were sharing and ministering God's love and the hope of eternity found in Christ. When there was a girl in the crowd. There was a girl in the crowd who stood up, and she became obnoxious. She became unruly. She became, well, one might say, annoying. Now, I don't say that of all young girls. We're all young ladies. But this particular young lady was loud and obnoxious. She was creating a scene, and there was a disturbance among the people as Paul and Silas were doing nothing but ministering God's love and sharing the hope of eternity that's found in him. She was saying things like, oh, listen to these men of God, for surely they know what they're speaking of and giving you the message of salvation. Well, there's nothing wrong with what she said. I said there was nothing wrong with what she said. As a matter of fact, what she was saying perhaps even come from the wellspring of her own spirit. For of her spirit was the problem. She had a spirit of her to create dissension and turmoil and... The crowd was well aware, and so was Paul and Silas, that this was a problem that must be dealt with. But it wasn't dealt with that day. Not that day. No, they did not address the problem that day, but went on continuing to share the love of Christ and the hope of eternity with all those who gathered. Silas was getting fed up. Silas was having it up to here with her. And Paul would calm him down and remind him, just wait. Say that with me, just wait. Paul and Silas went to a home provided for them where they rolled out their bedrolls and they rested there that night. Early in the morning, Silas awoke anxious for another day of ministry being taught by none other than Paul himself. So he ran to the door and he grabbed the handle and he opened it up. He felt the cool breeze of the morning blow upon his face and the sun, which was rising, warmed him. Ah! He thought to himself, what another glorious day. There she was. Across the street, the same young lady from the day before. I said the same young lady from the day be. In her rude, obnoxious, sarcastic, and evil-spirited, filled self, she began to taunt him. Na 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 boo boo. I'm sure it felt like that to Silas, this taunting of this young lady who stood just across the street. Paul and Silas. They must be on their way and do the work of the Lord. So they're ministering God's love to others and sharing the hope of salvation in Christ. Oh, all day. Say all day. From when they woke in the morning until they arrived that night back to the home provided for them, she taunted them. Oh, listen to these men of God, for surely they know what they're speaking of, she would say. In fact, I truly do believe she was speaking of herself as well. They went to bed that night, and early in the morning, Silas, excited again to enter into another day of ministry with Paul, went to the door, grabbed the handle, and opened it slowly. The morning breeze blew on his face, and the sun, which was rising, warmed him. He stepped out. I said he stepped out of the home onto the sidewalk before him, enjoying this glorious day. There she was, not across the street as the day before, but at the end of the block, leaning against the light pole. Waiting. Na 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 boo boo. She began in her taunts of Paul and Silas. It began early in the morning that day and continued well on to late afternoon. Paul and Silas were doing nothing but ministering God's love to the people of the community and sharing the hope of Christ. And in the crowd, she'd say again, "Listen to these men of God, for surely they know what they're speaking of and bringing you the hope of salvation." Again, I might say, it's likely she was speaking of herself as well. Amen? Silas said, "I've had it. I've had it. Paul, you keep telling me, wait. You keep telling me, just wait, wait. I've had it up to here. Paul, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How do we resolve this?" Paul thought for a moment. Not having been taught this in seminary or at Bethel College, he took his hand. I say he took his hand. Raising it, he stretched it in the direction of this young lady and said these words, "Evil spirit, come out." In a second, in a moment, in the blink of an eye, in an instant, in a what? In an, oh, you got to be faster than that. In a what? In an, instant, she was changed. She went from bad to good. She went from being ugly in her spirit to being beautiful. She went from having this countenance of anger and resentment to joy, peace, and the love she'd never experienced before in an instant. In a what? In an, it happened. She went from being a little devil to being an angel in an instant. In a what? Take your hands and stretch them towards the kingdom tab. No, we need to pray for our children. Because it can happen in an... She was so excited. Oh, she said, "Wow! Something's different. Something's changed." She took off running, running from the crowd. She ran down the street and disappeared down an alley to find her mom and dad. No. She didn't have a mom and dad waiting for her at home. She was a slave girl owned by her masters. They made money with her. Behaving this way and having this evil spirit of which possessed her, they made money with her. And when they seen that perhaps all means of income earned from her was gone, "Who did this to you? Who did this to you?" they said. Oh, with a smile on her face, her heart pounding, her pulse quickened, she said, "You got to meet these guys." "Oh, we'd love to. We'd love to." "Oh, you got to meet them. They're uptown in the city square. They're ministering God's love to people and sharing the message of hope in Christ." "Oh, really? Take us to them." "Oh," she said, "gladly." She took her slave owners, her masters, to the city square where Paul and Silas were, in fact, ministering God's love to people and sharing the message of hope in Christ. "There they are," she said. "There they are. Those are the men." The slave owners busted through the crowd and came up to the face of Paul and Silas and said, "Did you do this to her? Did you do this to her?" they said. Silas, standing there trembling, never having been put in such an awkward position. It was him. He did it. He did it. It was, oh, so I was saying, well, for a moment, I sounded like Adrian Dupree. It was him. He did it. Paul just shrugged his shoulders as if like, yeah. The power of the Lord delivered her of the spirit that possessed her. "Come with us," they said. They grabbed Paul and Silas and they dragged them through town, The people that were just a moment ago, listening to and leaning into the very message of salvation in Christ, being ministered to, joined in the attack against them, kicking dirt in their face, throwing stones, spitting at them, and hurling insults and words I cannot repeat in the big tab or anywhere else. Not as if the kingdom tab has any, never mind, but I will use words there perhaps that may not rest well upon the listeners this morning. They hurled insults, kicking them, gravel in their face, spit dripping from their beard. They dragged them off to the courthouse where the jailer and the magistrate stood, What have they done? The magistrate said. The judge, the magistrate himself said, what have they done? What have they done? What have these men done to deserve this beating that you've already given them? Oh, the slave owner said. They are preaching and teaching customs which are unlawful to us. And? And? Well, we can't have it. No, it's creating a disturbance. It's creating an uproar within our community. The judge said, All right. Well, what do you want to have done with them? Well, can we flog them? You know, we punch them. We knee them. But can we flog them? I mean, give them beatings that we would give the most reprobate criminal. Can we beat them and flog them? Certainly. Can we strip them of their clothes and continue to drag them through town and parade them before the people? Go ahead, the judge says. And if they're that bad, throw them in the inner cell. Take them to the prison, and not just any cell. No. Take them to the dungeon, to the prison, to the inner cell, the worst place one could be put in prison. Oh, they said gladly. They took Paul and Silas and dragged them back through town where people continued to kick, throw, and hurl all types of insults upon them. That jailer followed him there. For the jailer was commanded carefully to watch over not just Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners that were being held there that day. The jailer carried them down to the prison cell. To the dungeon he carried them. On his way, he passed prison door after prison door after prison door, where behind each prison door there was a prisoner. Behind each prison door, who ran to the bars and pressed their face against them, saying, what have they done? What possibly could these two men have done to deserve such punishment? For no one but the worst of criminals is placed in the dungeon. The jailer put their hands and feet in stocks and chains, sat them on that cold and damp floor. Covered in garbage, water runoff from the streets above, fecal matter of rats and other cave dwellings. And there they sat. The jailer shut the door, slammed it, and locked it as he walked back up. I said he walked back the hall to the dungeon. He walked back up to the street where he was to stand guard. And as he walked back up, prison door after prison door, behind each one stood a. I said, prison door after prison door, of which behind each one stood a. Whose faces were pressed against the bars again, wondering, what have they done? What could they possibly be done? No one would ever be placed there unless they were the vilest and most wickedest of criminals. It was late into the afternoon. One might even say early evening. The jailer, after having a long day, fell asleep there at his post. It was quiet in that prison. I said it was quiet. The silence was broken. The silence of that prison was broken when Paul began to pray. Oh, are you listening to me this morning? The silence of the prison was broken when Paul began to pray. Sitting there on that damp floor with his hands and feet in stocks and chains, he began to pray. I don't know why we're here, oh Lord. It stinks. It's gross, nasty, and wet. No. No, he did not pray a prayer of groveling, whining. Told our young adults I make up words. Write that one down. Urban Dictionary. Towards the end, you'll find whinering. They didn't grovel nor whine, complain of their circumstances or the environment they've been placed now, did they? Did they? No. I believe Paul said, as he had said many times before, Lord, I have no idea. Could not even give a possible explanation for why we're here. when in fact all we were doing was ministering God's love to people and sharing the message of hope that's found in Christ. And here we now are in a dungeon, a place of dampness, darkness, and bondage, treated as criminals for doing nothing, Lord, but preaching your gospel. But hey, Lord, I've been here before. And now you're sovereign. You're sovereign, Lord. You are the Lord over all. You're the Lord of this prison, of this town and village and all of its inhabitants, and you're the Lord of my life. So I know, Lord, I know, Lord, that you will receive all glory, honor, and I know that, Lord. Silas sitting there, the trainee, the one being taught. Oh, beautiful prayer. You try it, Silas. Silas began to pray a prayer similar to that of Paul as they expressed to God their love, lack of understanding perhaps, but yet God will be revealed even in this place. Paul and Silas prayed a bit, and then Silas said, you know what, let's just mix things up a little bit. Let's break it up. Let's worship a bit. Paul said, what are you talking about? That's a good idea. You've learned well. Why don't you lead, Silas? And Silas said, no, very good. Paul, you go ahead and sing, because you have this song that you sing that just calms me. Oh, and we walk the dusty roads from village to village and from town to town. Ooh, the song you sing. Sing that one song. Paul said, all right, as modest as he was, I'll sing it. It may have went something like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a Roman Christian killer like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blinded, literally. But now. Woo! Silas said, that's the one. Sing it again. Oh, there was not a second verse back then, so Paul just kept singing it. That's all he had. That's all he had. He sang it again and again. He broke it up a little prayer to catch his breath and sang it again. Silas joined in, and again, I mentioned he should never take the lead. They sang and prayed. Whoa, I'm sorry. They prayed and sang some more. Oh, catch me. As they began to sing louder and pray with more passion, the earth began to tremble. The earth began to tremble. The walls began to shake and vibrate under the moving of the earth beneath their feet. Silas jumped up from where he was. So dark in that dungeon, he couldn't see. I said, so dark in that dungeon, he couldn't see. Oh, but he knew it. He knew he had been set free. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My chains are gone. Paul, whoa, here you are. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Paul, in his calm resolve, I know. Your chains are gone. We've been set free. Silas ran to the door to find the door swinging on its hinges. Paul, get over here. And Paul walked to the doorway to see that just not their door was swinging on its hinges. Oh. Paul noticed that not just his door, the door of that prison confinement of Paul and Silas, not just their door, but every door was loosed. I said, every door was. I don't think you understand. Every door was. And behind every door, there stood a prisoner. Oh, bewildered, having never experienced anything like this before, the prisoner stood there in shock and awe. What just happened? When Paul looked up to see at the top of the hallway, illuminated by a light at the end of the street, there stood the jailer who had once been asleep but now awoke by the shaking of the earth. Had his sword drawn and placed to his chest to take his own life for fear that everyone had escaped while he slept. Ready to plunge the sword deep into his chest, he heard Paul say, wait! And now speaking by faith, we're all here! Silas said, you know that? You know that for sure? You couldn't even see me, you know what I'm saying? We're all here. The jailer put his sword back in the sheath, calling for lights. Bring me lights, lights, lanterns. Somebody, you, bring me the light. A light was brought to the jailer as he ran down that hallway. As he ran down the hallway, I say as the jailer ran down the hallway, he passed prison door after prison door after, of which stood behind each door that swung a. Huh? I think it was them. It was those guys, those naked guys. They're crazy, you know. You know, those bloody bruised and battered men. It was them. It was those. I heard them in the night. I heard them in the night singing and praying. Crazy. It was them. It was them. The jailer fell before Paul and Silas. With what little light he had, he illuminated the faces of these two men and said, What must I do to be saved? The jailer brought them out. The jailer brought them out and said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, I like this. Paul said, just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody can fill it in, and you will be. Just believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Silas said, that's good, but give him some more. Spread it. Lay it on thick. Tell him some more, Paul. Preach to him. Oh, Silas, calm down. He's got a lot to learn, this young man. A lot to learn. Tell him, Paul. Tell him, Paul. All right. All right. You and your household. You and your household, your family, they too will be saved if you just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My family, that's right, my family, my kids. He grabbed Paul and Silas up on his shoulders. Well, I just picture him being a big man. And he ran home as quickly as he could to find his wife and children standing outside of a not so badly damaged, earthquake shooken home. Oh, what happened here in the night? He stood there with two men, partially naked, bloody, bruised, and beaten. Are you okay? She says, yes, and the kids are fine. But you got to stop bringing work home. Oh, I'm sorry. These two men here. Let me introduce you. Paul and Silas. This is the smart one. He's learning. These are the men. And she says, and? You tell her. Paul, you tell her. And Silas said, tell her. He said to the wife and the children, just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. She said, are you kidding me? Free and forgiven of the sin, the guilt, and the shame of my past and yours. She looked at her husband, for he had much shame, guilt, and a past. Yes. Well, come inside, she said. She set them down at the table, she sat them, a very prominent place within a home of the Middle East. a place where fellowship and intimacy occurs between people. And she made falafel and tabbouleh. Oh, I got to go there because it's good. Some that naan bread. Sit down, eat. He quickly grabbed some water and cloths and began to wash them of their wounds, picking gravel out from the open sores of being dragged through town just only hours ago. The kids sat there, mesmerized, hearing the stories of Jesus Christ and the disciples, the miracles. People set free and delivered. That hour of the morning, I tell you, that hour of the morning, at the hour of the morning, the wife, the children, and the jailer were baptized and gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Come on! Yeah! Whoa! I could keep going because we're only now halfway through chapter 16, nor nearing the end. We can go on to 17 if you like, but for the sake of time and our kids in captivity, we need to hurry up. And I say that because I've been there 15 years. Don't worry, we feed them. Oh, our class at least did, because they live on gummy bears. Are you ready? There are two things I noticed. There's two things that stuck out to me that resonated in my mind when I read this. There are many things. Oh, many. Say many. Oh, we could just grab so much from this passage of scripture and say, oh, look at this. My pastor even preached this one time. And are you going down the trail he went? Before he got back on trail, because he went down three. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stick with two. The key that unlocked the miracles of God. In Paul's calm resolve, the two keys that unlocked the supernatural, miraculous hand of God was when they prayed and sang. Notice what they did first. Brother Jim didn't ask me to speak on prayer. A matter of fact, he knows if he asks me to do anything, it's likely I won't. Because he knows me enough to know. May the Lord speak to you and through you this morning and resonate with the hearts and minds of all the listeners who've been in morning workshops and evening services, who sat around tables and cabins and dorms and under the glow of bug light in your tent. You've talked about these things. What must we do? What must be done in our part to unlock the miraculous and powerful hand of God? Get to know Him. Please the Lord. Love God more than breath. I love God more than my breath. Prayed and sang. Prayed and they worshiped and prayed. They sang hymns before God. And one can only imagine. No, it was an amazing grace. As much as I imagine that in my mind, and it's only one of the 365 hymns I learned right here as a child. It's only one of them. I believe he sang from his heart as David did. I believe he sang from his heart as David did. He had a new song. In that place of which felt like there's no way out, no hope in sight, cold, dark, and damp, he worshiped the Lord. I'm telling some of you, you are in a cold, dark, damp place. Or perhaps a dry and bitter place. Where are you at? Where do you sit? Some of you feel as if you're sitting in a prison. You're bound by sin, shame, and guilt. As if the sins you've committed in your past, how could anyone forgive me for what I've done? God can. And He has. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you who were bound by sin are free. So enough of the long, downcast, pursed lips and puckered face of misery. Knock on my door. No, go ahead. Knock on my door. We're going to sit down and have a conversation. You're buying lemons in a bushel basket. It's time to stop the whining, groveling, complaining about the circumstances or the situations in your life or what you feel you've been dealt. And begin to pray. I said, begin to do what first? That's it. Pray first. And then worship with a new song. A song of identity of who you are in Christ. I am victorious and I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I am co-heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to sit at that table, that banqueting table one day with my Savior and my God. At an intimate place of fellowship with my Lord, I will sit one day and not in a prison bound by guilt and shame. The second thing I noticed, I like this part a lot. All right, if you thought I liked the first part, I like the second part equally, okay, if not much more. Prison door. Oh, in the back, there's a whole aisle way, a whole wing of the prison I've not yet seen, for my place of containment was there. But oh, the halls of the prison are deep with people who are bound. I said they're bound by sin. Oh, you can get just stuck away in your little cell. Make it comfy. Quietly. Just say, well, just buy out my time. 30 years to life. Come on, I said what? I've been in the back when Adrian's preaching. You're a little louder. I said what? I ain't going to have it, no siree. I'm not going to sit there wallow in this period or time or moment of my life. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let them know, hey. I got two secrets of how to get out of here. And I'm not going to keep it quiet nor tap on the wall in Morse code. I'm going to let you know. And if you hear me, oh, you prisoner behind the door, if you hear me, listen. Oh, prisoner behind the door, if you hear me, you better lean in. I may not sing nearly as good as Brother Johnny in the band, but you're getting ready. I'm going to belt out a tune for you. I want every prisoner that is held captive by the enemy who's bound by sin, that lives next door to me and down the street, who works with me, to hear me sing praises to my God. I want to be a mouthpiece for my Savior. Are we singing a life song to Jesus Christ? For our life is a life song to Christ. Every breath you breathe, every word you speak, in front of your children, your spouse, your co-workers, neighbors next door, they're listening with their hands in the bars, they're leaning in and they're saying, what's she saying? Do you hear what I hear? Because it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's what I need. That's what I need. Because this ain't working anymore for me. Being behind these bars and being chained to this wall, it's not working. People around you are saying, this ain't working for me anymore. And you know the answer. You have the two secret keys. You're not sharing them with me? You're not sharing them with me? I think all of us need to leave this camp and begin to say, Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praises. From when I wake in the morning till I lay my head down at night, may your praises continually be on my. There'll be some who get annoyed with you, but that's fun. There'll be neighbors who lean over the fence. There'll be those who sit beside us on the plane. Pray for that soul this week. As Adrian preaches to someone who's bound. People are watching. They're what? And listening. Let's live our life out loud. Because we know, don't we? The secret to freedom in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for this wonderful message. This powerful story and message. And Lord, I pray that you speak to us this morning and tell us, God, what it is. Oh, Lord, what it is you'd have us do in our life to live out loud as we proclaim the love of Christ and the message of hope and salvation. As we're out ministering your love to others, as we're out sharing. May we identify those who are struggling and in bondage, those who are riddled with guilt and shame of sins of the past, and God, allow us to be witnesses for you, we pray. I'd like to close as I read the story. Because some are saying now, oh, you told it. But is that what it says? Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Once, when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had the spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money from her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and Silas and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling us the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, at that instant, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrate and said, these men are Jews, and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful to us as Romans to accept and practice. In verse 22 of Acts 16, the crowd joined in the attack against them. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped, beaten, and flogged with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard over them very carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks and chains. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, I said, at what? At what? All the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." They replied, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. When they spoke the word of the Lord to them, I said, when they spoke the word of the Lord to them, and all the others in his house, they were saved. Open your lips. I said, open your. If he is the breath in your lungs, as you sang so eloquently earlier today, if he's the breath in your lungs, let that breath form words and roll off your lips and tell others of the love of Christ. Go with us, we pray, dear Lord, in your name. Amen. Would you stand and sing with Brother Johnny and the band as we close in worship this morning?